AgBioScience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
If you take a bad solution and you add AI to it, it's like yelling into the wind. You're just going to have more bad.
Welcome to AgBioScience, the number one podcast in the world for innovation in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture. Here is your host, Agrinova CEO, Mitch Fraser.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. AI, artificial intelligence, was forecast in 2024 to move from hype to help, driven by a shift in the global economy, a tightening of the global economy, a tightening of the farm economy, where farm equipment manufacturers are estimating double-digit sales decreases. There are tech companies that are taking that AI ambition and turning it into reality. One of those companies is Traction Ag, a young ag tech company focused on farm accounting. Their CEO, Dustin Sapp, joins us now. Dustin, welcome to Ag Bioscience.
Thanks for having me, Mitch. It's great to see you.
It is fantastic to see you as well, Dustin. I think that this idea of AI moving from hype to help, one that we have to spend time on. But before we do, we have to understand the role of Traction Ag and why there's this unique opportunity to really address farm accounting through technology.
What most folks don't realize, and I really didn't until I started digging into ag tech a year and a half ago, is how complex and sophisticated farming operations are. While if we're not in farming, we all know farmers or know families who farm, what we don't understand is how sophisticated they are as business people and how much innovation has taken place out in the field. What was shocking to me is with all of that innovation and advancement, how little innovation has taken place in the back office. And farmers don't, Mitch, you and I have a software background, farmers don't operate in the same annual fiscal cycle that a software company might, right? So if you're implementing QuickBooks or you're implementing just a normal accounting package that goes from Jan 1 to 12/31, that does nothing to help me as a farmer, but help me file my taxes. And that's it. So when I started digging into Traction and the Traction story and why the team started it, to see how far beyond it goes from simple cash-based accounting that you and I are working on, when you need to understand which fields are more profitable than others, which zones are really giving you the most return in your operation, to understand what leases you should renew or not renew and really understand, am I making money or not? It is not a simple solution of hiring an accountant and putting QuickBooks in place. So that's really, I've come to build a significant appreciation for that level of sophistication that farmers need to make better business decisions.
When you look at the current ecosystem today, the farmers that you mentioned, really regardless of size, I mean, the conversations you and I have had, you and the team and I have had around, it really is this stitched together portfolio, fabric, whatever analogy we want to use, of B2B software, B2C software, some accounting firms. Give us kind of a feel for how companies, how farmers not using a system like yours are actually managing the books.
It's all over the map. 60% of farmers in the US use QuickBooks. Many of your listeners may think of QuickBooks Online when they think of QuickBooks. In many cases, that is the desktop version that QuickBooks has tried to kill for years and years and years. And they finally deprecated this year. They finally said they're no longer going to support it. So you get 60% of farmers using some form of QuickBooks. The others might be using another software application, but a lot of them are the old tried and true box of receipts methods that they take to their accountant at the end of the year and say, figure it out and tell me how much it costs and make sure I don't go to jail, right? That's kind of the approach. So on the tax side, that's often what happens. But then from an operations standpoint, because they don't have those solutions, maybe they've implemented a farm management solution, and there are a number of good ones out there, and we happen to have some of that capability. But in many cases, they're using dozens and dozens of spreadsheets that they're using for every part of their operation and spending days and weeks comparing the data in those spreadsheets, double entering it everywhere, triple checking things, having their family help them out. It's a mess, and God bless them, because they're working through it and they're making good decisions with it, but the amount of time and energy they're wasting is significant.
Well, the work you and the team are doing have received massive validation. Customers are happy, but I think the greatest validation we just saw, Cooperative Ventures, a venture firm powered by Growmark and CHS, two giant ag retail cooperatives, along with Plymouth Ventures, put $10 million to work into traction just months after you joined as CEO. Share more about the feedback you heard from venture capitalists as they took a look at traction and said, this is different.
Number one, we're incredibly grateful that Growmark, CHS, Plymouth all voted with their dollars, right? They all had a vote of confidence in us in order to invest. Those particular firms, Growmark and CHS, they have a joint venture that they invested in us through. Both of them really have a desire to improve the economic prosperity of the farmers they work with. And that meshed so well with Traction's desire to help farmers thrive. It's very difficult to work with a partner where you have a misalignment of values and what you're trying to achieve together. So the fact that when push comes to shove, if you're making a decision that's helping the farmer, everybody's aligned in that. So tremendous alignment with Growmark and CHS. Plymouth Growth has been fantastic to work with so far. For me in particular, one of the approaches that we wanted to take with Traction is really invest in what I call responsible growth. In ag tech in general, you've seen a lot of venture capital come in over the years and try to invest it in the same way that you would invest in a marketing tech company, where you invest a lot of dollars and you need to spend a lot of dollars and grow as fast as possible so you can sell that quickly. And that's actually kind of left a lot of farmers in the dust, where they've invested in something, they've implemented it, and maybe it's not quite there, but they believe in it, and then that company's no longer there. They're gone, and now they've got to switch to something else. This isn't a business needing to find a new solution. This is a family having to change the way they operate as a family. So for us, it was really important to find someone who aligned well with that idea of grow responsibly, build something that can last, where 10 years from now, the farmers that trust us today are still trusting the solution that we're bringing to the table. So tremendously grateful for both of those partners. It's a difficult time to raise money in general, and you see these ebbs and flows go in fundraising every handful of years. But the pattern you always see is a company run well that's doing good things in the market can always get funding when it's being used the right way. Their burden of proof is higher. They have to have made a little more traction, pardon the pun. It's hard not to make it. They have to have made more traction. They have to have customers that have strong testimonials, a product that works. You're not going to get money when you just have a cool idea that might or might not work. But for a business like Traction, who's really invested in their farmers over the past several years and built something that can last, the investment community sees that and they're willing to and excited to jump on board that journey.
You look at raising capital in this current environment, PitchBook out with some new data. It looks like ag tech startups, and pulling these numbers here from PitchBook, raised $1.2 billion globally in Q1. 161 deals, down 25.8% in terms of capital raise, 20.3% compared to deals of the prior quarter. When you look at that and you hear those numbers, Dustin, one, you just have to realize you're in rare air, you and the Traction team, Traction Ag team. But what do you think made Traction Ag different? How did you buck the trend? How did you carve out a unique space here where you actually got funding?
It's a trend you're not just seeing in ag tech, you're seeing it across the fundraising landscape, right? I started my first business in 2000. Talk about a terrible time to try to raise money in 2001, 2002. And you see those cycles over and over again. I would say this cycle is not as bad as other cycles that have been there, mainly because there's a lot of capital that needs to be put to work. There's a lot of capital that's been raised in these funds, and they need to find good investments. So if you're focused as, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a founder, if you're a young company that's focused on raising money, I mentioned that burden of proof that you need to be able to show. If you can drive good value with your customers, if you can build a business that's growing and it's a painkiller, not a vitamin, right? You're solving a real need where you're not going to go away with the next trend in tech. There are plenty of opportunities to raise capital. They just need to understand, you need to be able to tell your story well. And they need to understand what it is that they're buying into and investing in and buy into the vision that you have for that business. So if you can articulate that well, both with your customers and with your potential investors, you're not going to have a hard time, but you do have to have something that has the opportunity to last and to scale.
What will that scale look like for Traction Ag? We'll dig into it right after this. Ag Bioscience is supported by Indiana Farm Bureau.
A healthy company is a blessing, but a well-insured company is a necessity. That's why Indiana Farm Bureau offers more affordable health plans for eligible members. Whether you have just a handful of employees or a larger enterprise, Building a stable business demands employees who are just as strong and healthy. Indiana Farm Bureau can help. With health plans that include medical, dental, vision, and Medicare supplement insurance plans. And you can sign up for membership and apply for an Indiana Farm Bureau health plan any time of year. Indiana Farm Bureau understands the cost of healthcare has rapidly become one of the largest expenses for many small businesses. We invite you to compare our health plans to your current coverage. We're confident you could find significant savings. To learn more about the health plan that's right for you, visit infbhealthplans.com and make the switch today.
Welcome back to Ag Bioscience. We're talking with Dustin Sapp, CEO of Traction Ag. Dustin, today, Traction Ag largely centered on accounting. I love the parallel you made, painkiller versus vitamin. You're solving a real problem, right? This idea you talk about of stitching a whole bunch of spreadsheets together, a bunch of different software programs together. As you look at growth for Traction, you got to do accounting well, but where are the adjacencies? Where do you see opportunity for continued growth beyond accounting today?
I was a little amazed at how big just the accounting market is that we're servicing. I think the numbers around 750,000 farmers are of a scale where they can use a solution like ours versus what they're doing today. That's a lot of customers that we can really help and drive value for, especially given how many of those aren't leveraging real solutions in their operations today. So there's a lot of pain that we can help solve, right? In the near term, that doesn't account for livestock or dairy farmers. That doesn't account for international. We have customers today in Canada and Australia through some of the acquisitions that we've done, but we're not in those markets yet with an accounting solution. That doesn't include South America. That doesn't include South Africa, right? There are lots of areas we can go with just accounting. That said, our belief is if you can solve accounting and finance right, if you can really provide value there, you then have the opportunity and the right in many ways to bring solutions to those same farmers to help them continue to improve the operations of their farms, whether that's through work order management, labor management. There are a number of areas that with accounting as that core foundation, if that truly is the gospel data that they can operate off of, there are lots of other areas that we can bring value to them. And that really fueled the couple of acquisitions that we did over the past 18 months.
Well, let's dig into those. For a small company, you have been very acquisitive. You acquired the assets of the Granular Business Solution from Corteva, picked up Conservice, all in this farm management information system space. Give us an idea how those integrations are going and how the evolution of the company is now with all of these products under one roof.
You're right. And I just joined a little over 6 months ago. Over the past 18 months, we've acquired those two solutions. One was before I joined. One was a week after I joined. So that was a fun first few weeks right before the holidays. We're very fortunate. Granular Business and Conservice, two of the leading farm management solutions in the market. A lot of loyalty in that customer base because there's a lot of value being driven by those. From our perspective, and I've heard this from the farmers that I've had a chance to sit down with and learn from, they're bringing a significant amount of value without being connected to their accounting data, which means there's a lot of work that goes into that in order to get value to the solution. So from our perspective, and we're getting great affirmation from the farmers that we're working with, is if you can start with accounting and then bring the value of those solutions to the farm gate, that makes a significant difference. You can go from 70 or 80% value to 100% value in those solutions that they're investing in, especially on the larger operations over time. That's where you see those more sophisticated solutions come into play. Yes, how the integrations are going, miss, it's going to take a while. To do it right, it's going to take a while. I've had a good chance to do that before. There are a whole lot of wrong ways to integrate solutions and only a few right ways. And we're trying to make sure we measure a few times before we cut and really integrate them the right way and work with our customers to make sure we're doing it right. So I think that's going to be an evolving status over the next couple of years, to be frank.
Undoubtedly. And as you look at that evolution, there are lots of other macro external forces. Talk about tough farm market, commodity prices and corn specifically down 25% year over year, roughly. But you also look at tech forces, artificial intelligence. We mentioned at the top of the podcast, really this year focused to go from hype to help where it's actually doing things. And one of those areas that AI is at least being contemplated of being applied are professional services like accounting, where you can see massive disruption happening in the space. As you think about artificial intelligence and you think about all the work that's happening in Traction Ag today with your customers, how are you thinking about AI as it relates to farm accounting, as it relates to the broader product portfolio?
I guess we should start with this idea that most people forget that elements of AI have been leveraged in software solutions for years and years. You know, they've had different names, predictive analytics, right? You've heard of predictive analytics in software for a number of years. That is an element of AI. The shift and the difference is the industry has made a couple of pretty big steps to expose it to the public, right? The fact that you have a chat interface where you can work with these solutions as opposed to being behind the scenes. So in reality, software companies have been leveraging a lot of this capability over time as they built out their solutions. For us, yes, I think you're going to see a lot of disruption in interactions with folks, right? You thought chatbots were annoying before. They should get a little better when you're trying to get help with your cell phone bill, right? Those types of things will happen. And I think you'll see that kind of conversational support start to take place in every solution in the market, especially professional service solutions. In reality, if you take a bad solution and you add AI to it, it's like yelling into the wind. You're just going to have more bad. The good software companies that are already providing value and figure out how to leverage AI in through, you know, automating manual tasks. No farmer wants to be stuck at a desk doing their accounting work. They want to be out in the field, right? How many of those tasks can you automate? Can you take that next step in predictive analytics? Can you help with expense management and tax compliance? All those areas where you can just avoid the death of a thousand cuts when using back office software, you're going to find your solutions that are already good get better and become great by leveraging those pieces. I don't believe it's something where all of a sudden the Terminator's here and all these software companies and farmers are out of business. We're not going to be there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think when you look at the opportunity for AI to remove or to augment some of those rote tasks, huge, huge opportunity. And that's an area you have been wildly successful in the past. I've kept this to the last because it is our unique connection. When you look at your past, you're a longtime SaaS software entrepreneur, multiple exits. You and I work together at a small tech firm. What have you learned from the B2B software world? What have you learned through the successes and those that maybe haven't been quite as successful that you're bringing to Traction that you feel like really can be a differentiator here in ag tech and ag bioscience?
Our family has been very fortunate to be on the journey that we have over the past number of years, and we're incredibly thankful for that. I think that the main lesson we learned through that, there's an old Greek proverb. I'll butcher the philosopher's name, so I'm not going to say it since this is on record. But it's something to the effect of no man ever steps into the same river twice, for it's not the same river and he's not the same man. And what you see a lot in tech is someone will have success and they think, if I just do that exact same thing at the next business, I'll replicate that success. Markets have changed. People have changed. Teams have changed. Your approach to them, how you grow has changed. And the most successful entrepreneurs that I've had a chance to meet and get mentored from and learn from are the ones that have figured out every new business is a new challenge to figure out. It's a new fun puzzle. And the approaches that worked before aren't going to work here. And that's helped me tremendously as I've entered ag, because I know nothing, right? I've helped hang tobacco as a kid. That's about it. I grew up in an apartment and I'm an engineering student. So I was able to come in with a truly blank slate and have good, honest conversations with farmers to say, I've got good experience in scaling software companies. I don't know your business. Help me learn it, so that we can bring those experiences together. And thankfully, the rest of the team at Traction has a significant amount of ag experience and has been teaching me as well. I mentioned earlier, I've been shocked by how little innovations has taken place in the back office. While you have this tremendous innovation taking out in the field, you've got incredibly brilliant business leaders managing these farms, not just good farmers, but business leaders stuck with antiquated status quo solutions that, you know, people just try to forget. So that's been shocking to me. I'd say the other really fun piece to learn is I've never worked with a team as passionate about their customer base as at Traction. If every one of us, you know, we're tied to the ag economy somehow, if we really step back and think about it, even if we don't have families that have farmed, we have connections to those who have, right? And with a Traction team, you have a number of folks whose families actively farm. We got a number of folks on the team that actively farm. One of my first meetings was someone on the team. She had a baby lamb at her feet that she was bottle feeding. And that's just part of the dynamic, right? You're taking care of your family while you're doing your job as well. And so with that kind of strong connection, this team just runs through walls to service their customers. And that, as I was looking at attraction to decide, is this something that our family wanted to invest our time and energy into? We were blown away by that level of dedication. And in reality, it's hard not to be excited when you see the impact you can have, on a customer, but on your local farming community, when you help them make better business decisions and to see that trickle effect. Everybody talks about wanting to feed the world. That's great. Yes, farming is feeding the world. But in reality, you're taking care of farming families. That's their number one task. And when you get to help do that and see the trickle, it's just, it's exciting. So it's been a fun journey to learn about so far. I've still got a pretty steep learning curve to go through, but there are fun things ahead for the Traction team.
Dustin, as a guy who spent a little time in ag, I'm elated you're here. I'm elated that you have chosen to vote with your feet and decide that this is an area you want to spend time in. To your point, there's a massive amount of innovation that has happened in field, on farm, and there are still a lot of greenfield opportunities, and I think you're absolutely in one.
Oh, thanks. We know it. We're excited about it, and we're looking forward to giving you an update here in a couple of years.
All right. I look forward to it. He is Dustin Sapp, CEO of Traction Ag. Dustin, thanks again for investing your time here on Ag Bioscience.
Thanks, Mitch. Great to see you.
Great seeing you, and thanks for tuning in to Ag Bioscience. You can always get the Ag Bioscience news you need online at agrinovusindiana.com, and you can now find us on YouTube as well as you can join us in person. If you'd like to join us here in the Indianapolis area, feel free to find your way to agrinovusindiana.com/quadrant for the latest details on how you can join Agrinovus and Ag Bioscience Live. I'm Mitch Fraser. On behalf of the entire Agrinovus team, thanks so much for listening. We look forward to seeing you real soon.
Ag Bioscience is a podcast by Agrinovus Indiana, hosted by Mitch Fraser, produced by Kayla Chittister and Fabian Rodriguez, photography and design by Kaylee Kerr. If you like today's episode, subscribe, rate, and review so we can bring you more conversations just like this. Get all episodes of Ag Bioscience at agrinovusindiana.com.